Anyway, what were we talking about?
What a weak start to this show. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon, episode 94. I'm Ian Boothby.
I'm David Dedrick.
And this is the All David Apology episode.
The All David All of the Time.
Yeah, David's going to be apologizing for all the mistakes he's made on all the past episodes. The most recent mistake involved Adventure Time, and Dave's going to start off with that apology now. Now, last week, if you remember us, we were having a discussion about Adventure Time, and I postulated that Adventure Time takes place in a post-apocalyptic future.
I said you were a madman and a fool.
That's right. Where Finn and Jake are the last dog and boy on Earth, and Dave went, "Shut your damn fool mouth," is what he said.
That's right. I turned into a hillbilly.
That's right. He was all hopped up on the moonshine.
Why, you're just full of it, young man.
That's right. If you remember Granny from Little Abner, Dave had that pipe in his mouth.
That's right. I turned into Granny Yoakum.
That's right.
That's actually Mama Yoakum, but anyway.
Oh, was it?
It was his mother.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, we'll do the apology right after we do our plugs. Plug number one is actually an after plug. It's a deplugging.
All right.
Which is
Can we do unplug something?
Yeah, which is thanks to everyone who came to Saskatchewan Expo. I was there, and it was super nice. It was the first one they'd ever done. It was a Comic-Con in Saskatoon.
Yeah.
And holy cow, everyone could not have been sweeter, couldn't have been nicer. And we had a couple of people who listened to the show and said hi. So thank you for your high sayings. Thank you for the one person who bought a shirt. And Dave's looking concerned now at the computer, and so I'm concerned now.
Yeah, it's weird.
So is anything
happening? No, it's fine. Keep going.
Yeah, I will keep going? Yeah. All right. See, this is like in the movie War Games, where everyone's looking at the screen, and someone realizes something's gone horribly wrong, and there's been a nuclear incident. Is this similar to that right now, Dave?
Very similar.
Okay. Anyway, but yeah, good con all the way around. We had a great time, and thanks for everyone who said hey.
Okay.
So that's my deplugging. Now my plugging, end of this month, on Wednesday at the end of this month, I'm doing the Critical Hit Show, which is a live dungeon role-playing bit of shenanigans over at the Rio Theater. Mm-hmm. Hope you can come and see that.
Yep.
The Irrelevant Show, which is a show that I write for on CBC Radio, is doing their live tapings now in Edmonton. So if you want to go and see that, I say you should, if you're in Edmonton, go do that thing.
Even if you're in Toronto, you should drive to Edmonton to see the live tapings of the Irrelevant Show.
Bang. That's exactly what you should do. Why not go online and read Dr. Sarcophagus, which is a comic strip of mine that's on Tumblr. And I got a book, and that book is called It's About Tolerance, Stupid, and that's on Amazon. You can download it for your Kindle. There. I think that's all the plugs I've got.
Okay. Dave, good for you.
Do your plugs.
Okay. I have one plug to make, which is kind of totally unrelated to anything that you said.
Okay.
And what my plug is for is that I need a new Cintiq screen for my computer. No. It's to do with...
So if you're out there and you're the people from Cintiq, let us know. We will mention it out loud for at least 5 episodes.
That's right. For at least 2 episodes. I think what I'm supposed to be plugging is that we have t-shirts for sale on our website.
Mm-hmm.
There are several varieties. All of them look slightly the same. And they all have a dragon in them.
Many of them have been on a plane recently to Saskatoon.
There you go. And most of them came back. In fact, probably all of them.
By the way, if you go to Saskatoon, don't order pad thai.
No.
No. Unless you really like ketchup and spaghetti. That's what you get, basically.
Well, that's a little mean to people in Saskatchewan.
No. It's what we got.
I'm just saying that's a little mean.
I'm telling you the food that was presented
you,
to us.
I'm telling you it's a little mean.
I'm sure there must have been someone else who was serving excellent food. I'm just saying this is what we got.
Yeah.
So that is the food I am reporting on currently.
I'm just saying when you go to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, to me the last thing you should order is Thai food. Second to last thing you should order.
What is the first last thing?
The first last thing you should order is sushi.
Okay, we were at a sushi Thai place.
Yeah, that's wrong. You went wrong all around.
Why? They've got access to Atlantic salmon.
Yes, they have access to Atlantic salmon. It's 2,000 miles away.
Well, you know, we get Atlantic salmon here too, and it's even farther.
It's not a good idea to eat it.
Yeah, right. Fair enough.
Why would you eat Atlantic salmon when you have Pacific salmon?
Well, I'll tell you.
Fingertips,
so to speak. I will tell you exactly why we ate at the place we ate at. Because in Saskatoon, restaurants close at 9, which means they close at 7:30.
Oh, really?
Because everyone runs their restaurant like it's a fucking hobby. And they're there, and you just see someone behind there going, I don't know, I got to look after my kid. And so they shut the restaurants down. So if you've done anything during the day that, say, lets off at 8, your options are that or
McDonald's.
Go find some edible leaves on the trees, buddy. Go to the movie theater and just eat some popcorn and goobers. That's basically what you got
to
do. Okay,
to be honest with you, although it sounds inconvenient.
Pizza places close at 8. Pizza places that deliver stop delivering at 8 because people's full up. They can't have no pizza pie after 8. Oh, my tum tum.
I think that's kind of wonderful.
Yeah,
I do. I know. Okay. I know you don't because you're. Yeah. I'm from the city. I can't stand these rural ways of small towns and people who don't do nothing after 8 o'clock.
I'm from the hungry.
I just woke up. It's 8 o'clock at night. Time for breakfast. Where can I go eat? Nowhere. What kind of town is this anyway?
Yeah.
I suppose you'd be telling me when it's time for lunch at 2 in the morning, there'll be nothing open. Well, I can't believe where I am.
It seems like all of your characters today are hicks.
I know, and it's kind of weird that the hick is criticizing
hick town. I think you did a flip on that character. All of a sudden, I became the rural person. You were just so in love with
I was just enjoying doing that accent, I have to admit it.
So you're in favor of people not eating.
It's not that I'm in favor of people not eating. I'm in favor of people who could leave a place.
When can
and don't want to work themselves to the bone.
So
and,
when should
and,
restaurants close, for in your mind?
Whenever they want.
Okay, so when should whenever they want. Okay, but like when should they then? When's a proper time for a restaurant to close?
Okay, here's the thing. When do you go to the restaurant? You go to a restaurant for dinner, right?
That's right.
What time is dinner at? Between 6 and 7 or 5 to 7?
Some people, yeah.
There you go.
For me, it's
time to close.
For me, it's 11.
Yeah, because you're a weirdo. You're from this West Coast. You're from the weird coast, Ian.
Sure.
You eat at 11 o'clock at night. To them, that's crazy talk.
Okay, how about this? Like in that scenario, when should a restaurant open?
About 6 in the morning.
6 in the fucking morning? Yeah. So you're asking this person to get up at like 4:30?
Yeah.
Crack
they gotta serve coffee and stuff like that. And the truckers are out on the roads and stuff like that. People are out and about at 6 in the morning, believe it or not.
Making this poor person get up at 4:30 in the morning. Who is
that's why he
person?
Has to go at 8 o'clock.
What? Oh, because of that.
He has to go to sleep.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You don't have to be the only person running your restaurant. You can have shift workers.
No, not if it's properly run. It's like you're a dairy farmer. You can't have other workers on a dairy farm. If you're a dairy farmer, you have to milk your own cows. There's no other way around it. And it's like running a restaurant. You are the ultimate in quality control.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll agree to disagree. So anyway, Dave will be apologizing for what he said.
I will not. I will never apologize for that.
Okay. But you will apologize for this. Back to Adventure Time. We had our debate last week. And then you headed home, and you said to Millis, you went, you know what that jerk back in the podcast said? This guy, get this, sit down, put your feet up, you're going to have a good laugh. Let me get you a root beer, and I'll tell you what this asshole thought. I'm gonna lay it down for you. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for it? Here's what he thinks. This guy thinks that Adventure Time takes place during the apocalypse, after the apocalypse. What do you think of that, sweetie? Why are you nodding? Are you nodding because you're not agreeing with me that he's an idiot? Is that why you're not? No, you're shaking your head now. Shaking your head. You don't think I was harsh enough on him is what you're saying. No, you're pointing to Wikipedia. What's on that Wikipedia? Mushroom Wars, you say? Oh, it's been laid out this whole time. Oh, multiple episodes. Could have just looked that up. That's it. Ooh. And then you went to your shame hole for a day. Okay, but
it's very close.
You continue.
It's very close to what happened.
You tell me the yarn.
It's very close to what happened because I was driving her. It's actually Phyllis. I was driving Phyllis and her friend to school, but on the way to pick up her friend, I mentioned to Phyllis. I said, "Oh, Ian and I got in a discussion on the show last night about Adventure Time, and Ian maintains that the show takes place after the apocalypse, which I just said was crazy." And then Phyllis says, "Oh, you mean the Mushroom Wars?" And of course, every part of my body just drops. I'm just like, "Oh!" I said, "Really? Like there really is?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "Well, how come I never saw these ones?" She goes, "Well, you haven't watched it for like a year, Dad." And I was like, "I haven't watched it for a year because I don't know. I just watched it when they're watching it." So Apparently, I'm not watching it when they're watching it anymore.
There were hints before. Like, you had, like, the lawyers that were frozen in ice.
I never saw that.
Yeah. Well, this was the...
I really missed a lot,
obviously.
This was
the crux of our argument, which basically went, I said, yeah, maybe you just need to watch some more episodes. I believe you can listen to me say. And you went, I've watched a lot. I watch them all the time.
Yeah.
I couldn't watch them more.
No, I even said, I've seen them all. And that's what I thought. But I have to say, I'm totally wrong.
Oh, that's fine.
So anyway, I just want to apologize for being an asshole.
Aw.
And,
I wouldn't go that far.
No. I think you said after the show was over, you said, Dave, you were a real fucking asshole on the episode. And so I thought, that's totally wrong. But when I talked to Phyllis, I realized I was you're right. Whoop, there goes my phone. Do you mind if I take this just for one quick second?
You fucking asshole. For one second. That's fine. Okay, Dave's on the phone with his lawyer. What he hasn't told you is, there's no way around this. I had to sue him. Because when you put a fact out on a podcast, if it's in any way inaccurate, then you as listeners, if you then take action based on that fact that we've laid out, and then you suffer any damage, you can throw that back on us, and that's our fault. You could sue this podcast for everything it's worth, and listen, we are really raking it in on this thing. So anyway, I have to distance myself for Dave. I wouldn't do this in any other in any other way. It's just financially, my accountant is making me do this. Anyway, so that's Dave on the phone with his lawyer now.
Hey everybody.
Hi Dave. So, I was just explaining what happened.
Oh, that I was talking to my lawyer?
Yeah.
Or talking to my accountant?
Yes, your accountant.
Talking to...
Your accountant, Francis Lawyer.
I was talking to
his
my...
His name is Francis Lawyer, and he's Dave's accountant.
He's a very frank lawyer. I actually was talking to my bowling coach.
Oh, okay.
Because I've been trying to reach him all day, and I have not been able to get in touch. And I texted, and I phoned, and I left a message, and that was him calling back. So
he didn't have a spare minute?
I wish that... he didn't have a spare minute. No. No, he did not. Anyway, what were we talking about?
What a weak start to this show.
Well, I think I'm going to cut out that whole part.
Let me tell you what the show's been so far.
Okay.
You doing two hick accents, me worrying that the computer's breaking down, then you almost apologizing,
yeah.
You taking a phone call, me vamping for time, and that's been it.
Well, I was intending to edit out the section of me talking on the phone.
Oh, no.
I probably won't now since you did vamp it.
Have you ever edited anything out of this show?
Yes, I have.
Oh?
I have actually, yeah.
Was it someone saying something they regretted later?
It was me regretting. I've taken things out that I said that I thought were dumb.
Oh.
Out of the show.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Very early on, like the first or second episode I did that.
Oh, interesting.
I was like, I can't believe I'd say something that dumb, and I cut it out. Now I'm just like, whatevs.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way it's got to be.
I was very nervous in those days.
Well, that's the same thing with almost anything that you do. Like, we used to both do, like, kind of autobiographical type cartoons or whatever. But you would, what you would always do is you'd, like, be very, very careful and precise and precious with your first couple of very, and then as it goes along, it's like, ah, blah. And those are the ones people seem to like the best. You know,
yeah,
you go, like,
exactly.
But I worked so hard on this one and every last detail and the do-do-do-do, you know, meh. You know. I mean, I really did. When I used to do my iComics, like, I would really try to work on the anatomy and try to make it work. And then when I just made everyone have a giant big head and tiny legs and feet, everyone was fine with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's okay.
Because it's the stories that really, really make it work. I mean, that's the same with all art, though. Like, I mean, you can look at someone, I'm just trying to think of someone who's not like a super strong artist. I just don't want to name anyone. But, you know, you could look at someone who's so-so at art. Maybe Joe Matt? Would you say Joe Matt is so-so? Compared to like Seth or Chester Brown and people like that.
Okay.
He was maybe a step down from them in turn, but
okay.
He was able to tell a story. He was able to, you know, it's a story that counted for him, not, you know, the art so-so, who cares?
Except when he did those fancy pages. There was like, what was those fancy one big pages where he's like, you know, it's all a big board game or something like
okay,
that.
Okay,
one of those where you just like do it like artsy experience.
Yeah, that's a good, that's what his diary, the diary pages are very simply drawn.
Yeah.
But they're really effective.
Well, I think that works for a lot of things. That works for music. That works for a lot of art where you reach that semi-skilled yet relaxed groove.
Mm-hmm.
And then people can relax. It's like whenever I see a stand-up comic and they come out and you can sense the nervousness, even if they're hilarious, you just don't. You can never relax into
it. You can't,
And yet there's some people that don't do the greatest material in the world, and I toured with a lot of those guys, but that you will immediately feel comfortable and you're okay with spending 15 minutes watching this person yap.
Yeah, it's a personality. And that's one of the things that I've noticed with younger comedians or new comedians is a lot of them try to have a persona that isn't them,
yeah.
But they feel like, oh, I should be this kind of person on stage. And so they're they're not, it's not them that you're seeing, it's this person, but they're not good enough to create an interesting persona yet. So this person who isn't them isn't that interesting.
You wonder what it was like for, say, like an Emo Phillips or a Bobcat Goldthwait when they were starting.
I doubt they started with that persona. I'm sure they developed that persona as they went.
Could be.
You know, that it grew over time. Mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine, like, I mean, maybe. It's just, it's hard to know. I mean, the scene that they're in, it could have been that there are lots of people doing something like that. You know what I mean? That kind of, it worked within that milieu or that
setting. I'm trying to think of someone who's doing character comedy now, like aside from Neil Hamburger.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of someone who actually goes out there and like does a straight out wacky voice through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. There's not a lot. There was that person, I don't know his name, you mentioned it before, that did kind of a classic comedian style, but he thought it was too easy and he stopped doing it.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That would be Shecky Gray.
Okay.
Yeah, who is now, well, he was always this, really named this person, Cliff Nesterhoff.
Okay.
Who's an amazing writer about comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You should definitely look up Cliff Nesterhoff stuff. But yeah, he did like an old-timey guy when he had a gong and some business.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
He was very, very strong persona there. But yeah, you wonder like how, yeah. It's, you know, whenever you hit the stage for the first time, it's weird. It's weird. It's weird developing, because you're basically trying to develop you, but more so. You know.
Well, someone else I'm thinking of is Shlomo McPeak, who I think brings a kind of a character.
And though these are all local comedians we're speaking of right now.
Yeah. Who brings a kind of a character to the, yeah, sorry, we're speaking, because it's hard to think of, yeah, people who are like big on the scene people who, you know, I don't know. I can't think of any. Because I think it's just not the right time. And, you know, this is not what people want right now. They want this sort of hip, you know, person who's letting it all hang out, not hiding behind something.
Though you get someone like an Anthony Jeselnik, who's part of he does a show called The Jeselnik Offensive. And, you know, he's definitely got a character. Same with Sarah Silverman. I saw him for the first time opening for Sarah Silverman, coincidentally. And they're both, they've got the I'm an asshole type thing, but then like really, really solid jokes. You know, but you don't really see them in the character that much, unless that's what he really is like. And if so, oh Lord, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird coming up with you can't even come up with a persona. You basically got to just do it and see what works and take what does and move it along. It's sort of like with this podcast. We could have, you know, when we started, gone, it's going to be this, that, and the other. And
we just, did.
Did we?
Remember we had the blackboard with all those things we sketched out, all those ideas we were going to do?
Right.
And we started doing it. We just realized we couldn't do any of those things.
Yeah, because that was a football thing that you set up. You're like, that would have been a great thing for the winning pass.
That's right. Ian, you run to the back of the wall and I'll throw it to you back.
Yeah.
Long bomb.
That's right. I mean, you're a great coach.
Oh, thank you.
But unfortunately, we were doing a podcast, so there was nothing that helped me at all then. And then you put the dinner specials next to it, and I thought those looked delicious, but then you closed at 7, and you went, I guess so, I'm going to go take a nip-nap, because, you know, I want to live my life.
Well, so the long and the short of it is, I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, at the fair, I didn't see any short of it, but at the long of it, absolutely, no problem whatsoever.
That's great.
No, I'm not a good debatey guy with that kind of stuff. I'm really not, because it's one of those things where I know I'm correct, but I can't prove it. So where does this go? I'm just going to let you talk for a while.
You just let me take a noose and put it around my own throat.
Well, there's nothing I could say.
And then pull on it. That's fine.
I know, but there's nothing you can say. Like, I get into that all the time with people.
To me, it was fun, so.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I'm not a good arguer. I don't like doing it.
You like to argue?
No, I don't at all.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. I've seen you argue.
Look, I understand you're tricking me into arguing right now.
I'm not trying to trick you into arguing.
And then you're doing the old, like, ha-ha.
I'm not trying to trick you into arguing. What I'm saying is that you do like to argue.
No, that's absolutely wrong.
You do like to debate then.
No, I hate
debating. You do like to discuss.
Sometimes I like discussing if we're both yielding, if we're both moving in our positions.
I disagree.
And we can shape and we're reshaping what we're saying. But if it's like, give me an example. I would like to get one of those. Like here, like I could see one where I would get into an argument with someone. Like it would be like on a message board where someone would say something along the lines of this comedy club these new guys opened, you know, can't succeed. You know, it's failed in that venue before with other things, and these guys are just wasting their time and wasting everyone's time and da da.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that I will then get on and go like, oh, come on, you know, I mean, just because this failed, these elements might have been the problem, and these guys, you know, have a chance, and then I'll get into a back and forth with the person, but I don't enjoy that. But I also have almost an OCD thing about where I see something that's wrong, And I need to correct it if I can. But I don't enjoy that process.
Oops.
See, I want to fix that microphone that you just messed up.
Okay. No, it's interesting. Because when we were younger, I was very argumentative, as you probably remember.
Yeah, I didn't care for that.
I was Mr. Arguer.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was mostly dumb arguments, too.
No, but
and I would argue vociferously,
yeah.
Black is white or white is black.
And then one day I did an impression of you doing it, and then you didn't really argue with me that much anymore.
Is that right?
Yeah, because I went like, want to see what it's like? Okay, and I said to you, say something, sky's blue. Sky's blue. And I just went off on a tear, and I argued in your style, and then I ended it by doing a spat really fast.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because that's what you used to like doing. You liked showing off how far you can spit. And you went, oh, okay. And then I think it was hard for you to argue with me using those
it's
methods.
Possible. Another thing is I actually shed almost all my friends from that time period.
Another thing is to shed a lot of weight.
No.
This was a weight loss program called, like, Argue Your Way Slim.
No, I just shed a lot of my friends because I just found that I argued habitually.
Yeah.
So when I was with these people, I would just start acting that way. So I just thought, okay, well, I'm just going to move on in my life. I don't care for this person that I've become, and I'm just going to, you know,
well, arguing,
make new friends.
Arguing is also easy. Like, there's a quote I put up on the No And board, which is the improv board that I do on Facebook. And it was Albert Brooks talking about how almost all amateur improv turns to argument.
Okay.
You know, because it's the easiest thing to do, and it feels like you're doing something. So if you see, like, new improvisers, you know, almost always it's like they're washing the dishes. And it's like, you're washing those dishes wrong. What? Well, why don't you wash the dishes if you're so damn smart? I would wash the dishes, but I've got my camel to ride out of here. Okay, Sheik, you better go. And it goes on like from there, because it always takes it to crazy town.
Yeah.
And then someone, you know.
That's what I would say is more common than
To go into crazy town. But you want something to happen, and the easiest thing that can happen is conflict, and the easiest form of conflict is argument. So you almost like go straight to argument as you're because it's an easy way to feel something.
I read that post, and I must have missed the amateur part of it, because I was thinking, I don't remember that in like most of the improv that I've seen. I don't remember people arguing.
Oh, I'd say go to an improv workshop. I can see it.
Yeah, I can see it in an amateur place where part of that anger is then you don't have to listen to other people. You know what I mean? It just becomes you acting out.
Well,
so.
Also, if you look at like a lot of comedies, a lot of them are the straight person and then the funny person. So they got the straight person and the funny person comes in and does wry comments.
That's right.
About
like you, you're the straight person.
Sure, sure. Yeah. That's right. And you're the metrosexual. That's how that works in this thing. Dave is dressed very, very provocatively with his shirt buttoned really low.
Well, it is rather sweltering in here.
Sure, that's why it is.
In my defense.
That's right. That's why he's fanning himself with a giant...
Feather boa.
Feather boa, yeah. Exactly. But yeah, so you think of like
peacock
comedy
feather.
Is one person straight and then the funny person coming in and being insulting and being a wise ass, being a Bill Murray, a real Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're doing improv, that everyone wants to be Bill Murray, so now you got two Bill Murrays arguing with each other and then... Bleh. Nothing really goes on. You know, that's a problem. So that's why one of the rules of improv is try to say yes as much as you can, because it goes against the arguing thing, and then you might actually both go on that camel together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
But that's what I prefer. Like, I don't like an argument, because I think an argument, I never feel like you win an argument. Like, even if you win, you fucking lose, right? Because, like, I don't want to prove you wrong and shame you. I want us both to...
Oh, you secretly do.
I want us both to get to a place where we've go, oh, that, I didn't know that. Oh, and that as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Now, you know, that's the ideal scenario to me. Or you tell me something I don't know, and I'm like, oh, well, geez, that's interesting. And it's not me being dumb. It's me, like, learning something. And if I'm open to learning, then we're fine.
Well, it did result in a good thing, which was, I thought, one of my most favorite title cards that I've ever done.
Yeah, it was a great title card.
Just because it was so fun to, I don't know what I thought of it, just when I was driving home, I was thinking about these, you know, a boy and his dog in the apocalypse, and then it made me think of the film, A Boy and His Dog.
With Don Johnson,
that's right, directed by L.Q. Jones, who played like kind of those kind of crazy hillbilly backwards characters in film. He was a character actor. And I don't know. He just loved this story, which I think is a Harlan Ellison story.
All right.
And he...
I think if it is, Harlan will let us know.
Yes. He will not... what's the word I'm looking for?
Shut up.
Yes. That was exactly what I was going to say.
Hey, Harlan, you got any opinions on that Star Trek script you did?
Mm.
All right. Everyone settle down.
Everyone? You want to hear about that again?
Here we go.
City on the Edge of forever? Is that what it's called?
That's what that story feels like when he tells it.
I think that's what it's... I've never seen it, but yeah. I think... Okay.
What? You've never seen that one?
No, I've only seen a couple... I've only seen like two episodes.
All right. Well, you know, here's... is it on Netflix? Go look at it on Netflix.
I told you before, I saw the 2-hour special episode of The Gorn. Thank you for telling me it was The Gorn. And then I saw one with a really sexy robot lady. Really sexy. I did not mind that episode. No, I haven't seen all that one. The other one I saw was... I saw a bit of that one. The one I saw was one with a rock.
Oh, with the melting... Dwayne The Rock Johnson was in it?
That's right. I could smell what he was cooking. Yeah, quite, it was, didn't smell like good.
Did they ever mention what he was cooking?
Cheese curds between his legs.
And then he had to go and take a big poutine. What a terrible back and forth that was. You know what? I prefer arguing to whatever that was we just did.
You know what? People laughed at it. Mm-hmm. They didn't. Now they feel guilty and terrible, mm-hmm. and it's sort of unclean. Mm-hmm. But they wish that anyway. So I was thinking about this movie.
By the way, see City on the Edge of Forever. It's a good episode.
Okay, maybe if I can.
I think you'll be able to. I think it'll air sometime in your lifetime. Look at it.
I have to think of it as an hour that I won't get back. So if I feel like I can sacrifice that hour of my time, mm-hmm. I will.
Okay.
But yeah, so I was just driving home and I thought of that, and I thought it would be fun to put Adventure Time with Boy in a Sock.
Sorry, I got to go back and just go like, you sacrificing an hour of your time. I'm just picturing this giant altar.
Yeah,
and, that is that's your what TV, I do. And you're like, I will sacrifice an hour of my time. Oh, Breaking Bad.
And then you, Breaking Bad is worth it.
Then you, yeah, it is.
Breaking okay, Bad is worth right, it.
But continue, you're in your car.
You know, no, that's it. I just put the two together in my mind. I was just like, oh, Adventure Time is a boy and his dog.
Yeah.
And then that movie was a boy and his dog. And yep. I thought, oh, there must be a good poster of a boy and his dog. So when I went home, I Googled it and found one. And I was just like, oh, I know what I'm going to do.
And then I liked your post online. Come on, people. This is fucking clever. Not enough likes.
I know. I'm like, okay, I just felt like, come on. I love this one. And
I don't think I love this one. But it's like, it's so obscure. As you described it, like someone described it, which was like, if you remember the film A Boy and His Dog,
my nephew.
You're a certain age. Mm-hmm. And then if you know Adventure Time, you're a certain age or have kids that are a certain age.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's not a lot in the Venn diagram that crosses over in the middle
it's
that
a problem.
Clicks on the like.
That's why I put underneath, I said, our demographic. So that was my nephew who wrote that. So helpful. So helpful. After I fed him on Sunday. What was interesting was that on Saturday, like I knew I was going to draw this. And what happens when I have an idea that I really like? Well, what really bothers me though is the week before I did kind of a hack thing with The Abyss where I drew Stinky Dragon as sort of that water alien thing.
That was great.
That was okay. It was okay.
No, it was great. Look. Here's what, Dave, remember what we were talking about, like, I don't know, 10 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Where it was like, it's the comic, and the mm-hmm. comic or the artist or whatever, and they try really hard, and so much detail, and so much cleverness, and then they do the simple little thing, and everyone goes, we love that.
I know.
Michelangelo had so many ceilings that he did that he really worked hard on, and then the Sistine Chapel he knocked off in an afternoon, and everyone's like, that's the one!
He's like,
this one!
Mamma mia!
I put those two dudes in the middle, touching and everything. I got the other one over there with the lasers and the aliens. No, we don't care. But look at the other chapels.
Oh, I guess it's true. No, it's just funny to me, because that one was...
Yeah.
It was almost like...
You as an artist do not get to pick what people like.
I know, that's the frustrating thing.
You're the musician who just put out his album and went, this is the one, baby. Yeah. This is the one everyone will like. Yeah. No, fuck. Okay, I'm going to go do this jingle for Arby's, and everyone's, I like Arby's, liking that jingle. Damn it! Why?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's true, though, yeah. I mean, because the reason I wanted to do the Abyss poster of the underwater diver.
Right.
You know, when you see... And then with the Abyss lettering and everything, and I was going to put, you know, just put Sneaky Dragon in that position. That was my dream. But that weekend, I remember I was describing it was pretty much a write-off in terms of my time. And so I did that one instead. I got the film. I had to watch, find that scene, do a screenshot of it, add the water thingy to it. And I was like, okay, that's good enough. It's okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, we love it.
Yeah.
Then this one, I was just like, oh, this is the greatest.
Yeah.
It's such a great combination, these two ideas.
Because you made the biggest mistake you can make.
What's that?
Do you want to know what it is?
What's that?
Here's the biggest mistake you can make in your life. You were clever.
I guess
and here's
that's
what
true.
Happens when clever and art meet. One guy in the back wearing black knows this. I get it.
It's all I wanted.
Yep.
So well, you got it. I'm just sure more, you just more of people think, you know, I get what? It.
The person who liked it was too artsy to click like. Yeah, that's guess, too hack.
I guess that's a problem.
Might as well poke you. Yeah,
that's a problem. So, and that day was just another, and that whole weekend was another, like I say, when I have an idea that I really like,
right.
I actually procrastinate it more because I'm just like, oh, this is so great. I'm gonna wreck it. So yeah. I'm gonna put off doing it.
Yeah.
And then, so I didn't do it on Friday. I didn't get it done Friday night. I did something different, probably watched Breaking Bad or something and Teen Wolf. So then Saturday, I got up, I'm like, okay.
So you sacrificed an hour to Teen Wolf.
Yes, I will, but not to Star Trek. But anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have daughters. Yeah. I have daughters.
Yeah, you do.
I got to watch that show.
And then you have no books,
It
right?
has buff.
No books in your home
It has buff
all?
Young boys. No. Why would I want to watch that?
Right.
All shirts are off. That's...
Here's the thing.
Should be the,
everybody, listen.
Logo for that show.
Listen to anything Dave says in this episode. Then just fast forward 10 minutes and just hear him counter exactly what he said 10 minutes before.
So I got up on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I got up fairly. I got up late. I slept in. I was really tired last week.
How late did you sleep in?
10 o'clock.
You know what? That restaurant person was up.
I know, since 4 hours. He's yeah, up 6 hours before that.
Yeah, the restaurant's
I know. I felt
Dave?
Bad.
I got the coffee brewing.
I don't drink coffee, but I felt bad.
I know. They just want it to smell nice when you get in.
So my plan was to mow the lawn because my lawn, I had not mowed my lawn for most of the summer because we have watering restrictions in Alder Grove. Mm-hmm. And pretty much as soon as June comes, we can't do anything with water.
Are you allowed to pee on your lawn?
I suppose you could. It's not good for too much nitrogen.
Here's a question.
It's okay in little bits.
If you say had a pool that you had in your backyard and had been had that for the summer, could you pour that onto your lawn? Would you be allowed?
Yes, you can do that. But then you couldn't refill your pool.
No. If you have previous existing water, you'd be allowed
That's
to.
Fine.
That's fine. All that's right, fine. Good.
But I didn't. Next year, that's a good idea. I will buy several rain barrels and...
Yeah.
And just fill them up and have stagnant mosquito growing areas in my backyard.
And in case you lose all your money, you can wear the barrel comedically around
That's right.
town.
That's right.
That guy's old school hobo. Look at him.
He's got suspenders in a barrel. So,
can I have enough money to get to Niagara Falls? Everyone go, he is old timey. Look at him. He's adorable.
Well, that's kind of funny. I said
then
that.
Donkey Kong picks you up and throws you.
I said that to my nephew and Millis on the weekend. I said, you'll see Millis walking down the street wearing a barrel. And they both laughed at me and said, you know, a barrel would be more expensive than going to the thrift store and buying some clothes.
Yeah.
Now, that's true. Because a barrel is no longer the economical poor person's clothing. It's more of a statement.
Yeah. If you went to Value Village in the 30s, it was mostly barrels.
Mostly barrels. That's right. Thrift store
and,
barrels.
And tiny bucket underwear.
You'll have to wear that.
Yeah. Yeah, classy.
Unseemly.
Yeah.
You'll get cold if you don't wear your bucket.
Also, if you poop in the bucket, who gives a damn? Just throw it out.
Then you had your butter churn t-shirt, you know, to wear as well.
Right.
Because, you know, so you'll get cold.
Yeah, you get a full outfit.
Yeah.
No, you want to get that matching barrel suit. Now, what are you using for shoes?
You use two bread boxes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all you need. And then you use a breadboard for a tie.
Nice.
Yeah, it's classy.
I like it. That's classy. And then, unfortunately, the Chicago Fire happened. He went up like nobody's business. The guy wearing the all wood suit, that wasn't thinking at all. Not Why planning. Did he smoke so much?
So I was going to water my lawn.
Okay.
So I...
By the way,
I started, good mowing.
Good riff, Dave.
Oh, thanks.
Good riff. Okay,
thank
go ahead.
You. So I started mowing my lawn. And why? Did I just stop it in mid... Did you want to keep going? I felt like it was over.
I just think sometimes, you know, you got to stop and enjoy the riff you just had. You know, celebrate those special moments.
Stop and smell the riffs.
Yeah, if I had a cup of tea right now, I'd just sit back and just go, let's just enjoy that riff we just had and have a little sip.
I'm sure the audience would appreciate the silence of us.
Yeah, I'm
like, self-congratulatory
get a piece of wood out, do some whittling, make a little thing for the little knick-knack
sure.
to remind myself, maybe in the shape of a barrel. Put that on the old windowsill and I go like, hey, when I get to be an old man, I'm looking at that going like, hey, that was a good riff. That old barrel riff we did back in 2013. Yeah. But anyway, before Dave told the lawn watering story.
No, this is not about mowing the lawn. So I went to mow the lawn. This was going to take me like an hour. I was going to mow the lawn.
Right.
And
now, do you mow back and forth or do you go like outside in?
I mow, I alternate So I'll go up and down,
yeah.
Then back and forth, like, you know, like horizontal, vertical, horizontal.
Do you go over the same area twice?
And then? I'll go diagonal. No. Just every time I'll do it slightly differently.
Oh, I see what you're saying. All right. Yeah. Very good. You don't like re-mow.
No.
Going in a different direction because you're not.
I have a life.
That's right. You're not a monk. Okay, go ahead. So
I started mowing the lawn and I stopped it to empty out the bag. And then I went to get started again and I pulled and the pull cord broke. It just pulled away. And then I was standing there like a fool holding my pull cord. Which it's a sort of mini country songs. And so then I thought, well, I have to fix it because I can't just leave my lawn partly mowed because that's crazy because I am slightly like Monk. So then I took the lawnmower apart, got out the pull cord thing, and then I went to the store and bought a new pull cord at the hardware store, came back home. Then I was looking at how I should fix it. And I lifted up the thing that the pull cord attaches to, the little pulley or whatever, and the spring came out. So there's this big like spring. It felt like, you know, it was like you opening that jar of peanut brittle.
Yep.
And the spring comes springing out. That's what it was like. It's just like spring, like this huge amount of spring that it's like clowns coming out of a car of spring, right? I was like, oh my, now what have I done? So then I was trying to wind with my, like onto my hands, but it gets tighter and tighter and you're just like, oh, this is like work. And then I realized, oh, I can actually loop it back onto the pulley. So I started looping it that way. And then I got it looped on and I was like, okay, now I'll just put it down and see if I can spring. So this happened like, oh, it took forever. So what it's supposed to do, like, okay, so I have to imagine this. So right. You have this disc.
Everyone imagine at home as well.
Yeah. It's like a pulley and the rope that the pull rope goes around that pulley.
Okay.
And then
you're all imagining this, right?
So when you pull it,
yeah,
as you pull it,
Dave's pulling it now.
It pulls it counterclockwise.
Good.
And it creates tension on the spring.
Right.
So then when it starts and you release the cord, the spring, you know, untensions itself.
Right.
And so it spins and draws the cord back in.
There's an equal and opposite reaction.
Exactly. So it brings the cord back into the lawnmower.
Yes.
So you don't have the cord hanging down the side of it while you're trying to mow your lawn.
It'd be ridiculous. You'd run over your cord.
Oh, yeah. And it'd be hard to start it again.
Buy another cord.
And it's hard to start it again.
Absolutely.
And what's interesting is when you start it, it has these little wings that come out. So when you pull it, these two wings protract, come out. They grab onto the inside of this part that spins inside the lawnmower. Mm-hmm. So that's where the starter is. So that spins it, starts the engine. And when you release the pull cord, these little wings go back inside. And so then they don't interfere with the spinning part. So, but it wouldn't make contact. Like I was trying to get it to create tension so that the cord would go and it wasn't working. So I was trying to figure this out. I was looking at, went online and I was looking at images of the spring, in like ads selling them. And I noticed that it had a curve on the inside, which mine didn't. So I thought, oh, maybe that's a problem. So I bent it in and then it was able to catch onto this little thing inside, this little catch inside, and that was it. So it started to work. So anyway, 3 hours later, my lawn was mowed.
3 hours later, the part you had already mowed had grown back.
Yeah, and then it was Phyllis's birthday, her 19th birthday on Sunday.
Happy birthday!
So Millis and I went into
town. So now she can go to see shows that she wants to see because I was mentioning earlier the Rio show that I do. She is a big fan of the Rio theater, but. Certain shows, she could see like matinees of like movies and whatever, mm-hmm. but certain shows are now have served the boozy booze.
Yeah.
And so she couldn't go. But now she can.
Because of a ridiculous and archaic liquor licensing laws.
Yeah, licentiousness law.
So we went into town to get a present for Millis.
Right.
Phyllis wanted to buy a present for her. And so got home. Then I made dinner.
Mm-hmm. Can we ask what the present was?
She got her, it was a set of Game of Thrones glasses. There's four of them and they're all the houses of the show. So the Stark and I don't know any of the other ones, Lannister.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm thinking of a joke, but I can't say it because it's a big spoiler for Game of Thrones. But continue.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah.
So that was what she got. So Millis really liked that because she's like completely in like nerd heaven about Game of Thrones right now. So she got this big book of maps of Game of Thrones and she was so thrilled to have like maps that show like the journeys the characters take and everything.
Oh, cool. Now, is this just the journeys they've taken on the TV show?
Or no, in the books? In the books, yeah.
Has she read the books?
Yes, she has.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Yeah. She's currently reading the book I call The Bottom of the Barrel but I think it's called, has some other name. It's like his childhood
you
writings.
Just
and
can't get off this barrel cake.
That's right. It's his childhood, it's his, or his teenage writings and his fan fiction and stuff like that they've collected.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, bottom of the barrel.
All right.
Which he insists I'm wrong about.
But okay. Anyway. And she's not like looking at his old Twilight Zone episodes and stuff.
Did he write Twilight Zone episodes?
One of the newer versions of Twilight Zone, yes.
Oh, really?
That was one of the reasons that his frustration with being a television writer made him write books and just go, I can't send these budgetary restrictions.
Okay.
I'm going to write stuff that could never, and this is seriously what he said,
yeah.
That could never, ever be put on television or filmed. It will be too expensive.
Okay.
Well, smash cut to now.
Pre-CGI.
And it's all being done. And well, it does look like incredibly expensive.
But a lot of it's CGI, probably.
I would assume the opening title credits are CGI.
Yeah, probably are.
Or, boy, someone really enjoys carving a lot of little things. You know, here's just a side note, and I'm not going to spoil anything about this movie, but I saw World War Z last night.
That's a good movie.
I know some people say, oh, do you think it's a good movie?
I enjoyed it, yeah.
Oh, I did not care for it.
Why?
Well, I guess we're going to discuss this now.
Yeah.
All right.
Let me just finish my story, and then we'll discuss World War Z.
Please.
Because I have another movie about a world ending that I'd like to talk to you about, too.
All right.
So
that could be many films this year.
So I finally got started, and I actually posted it on Facebook. I didn't tweet it. I should have, but I just said finally sitting down to start drawing at 7:30. And I think at 10:45 I said now I'm starting to ink it. I was too tired to say when I started coloring it, but I finished it at 7:30 in the morning. Slept for an hour. Got up at 8:30 for Melissa's birthday breakfast. Went to church. Came home. Worked on the back deck for a few hours. Then we went to see The World's End.
Yep.
And went out for dinner.
Okay.
So it's a good night.
Sounds good. All right, now we can discuss.
I wish I could remember it all. No, just joking.
Did you get a good night's sleep that night?
No, I never can. I always put off sleeping, so I think I went to bed about 1:30.
Okay. It sounds like your family needs to get those blow darts that people have that just goes, and then you're like, out you go. I think that's the only way to get you to get a nice night's sleep.
Because 9 o'clock, I get really hyper.
Yeah.
You probably know.
You know what
and the restaurants don't open.
That's right. That's the problem. Why would they be open at all when you want to eat?
So anyway, World War Z. All
right, World War Z. All right. And I'm not going to spoil too much of World War Z because there's not too much to spoil. There really isn't, unless you want to go like, he's fine. Here's the thing. I watched it last night. I got the extended cut, which apparently, according to my sister-in-law, Vicky, not much was expanded, except I guess it was more gory. They added some more of the gore.
Hmm. Don't eat it.
Here's the thing. It starts off with him and his family, and you're like, oh, I like this family. I'm looking forward to seeing this family.
Yeah.
Fuck the family. We're getting rid of them. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And then he goes from place to place in the world, and horrible things happen, and then the thing occurs, and then you might be okay, and that's the end of the movie. And I didn't see there was no character growth of the guy. No one learned anything. No one was different. It was just like, you show up here, oh, go booga. Okay, you show up here, everything seems fine. I'm just going to put on this hat. No, hats drive them crazy. Here, they're all coming for your hat. You know, it's like, whatever it was, just like a guy eats an apple, crunch, now they hurt your apple. And here they come, and it's just like, okay, it's just like, fuck. It's just like a guy being followed by a wave, it just feels like, and every so often the wave hits. And there was nothing.
Saw it with low expectations, but...
Maybe there's low expectations, but I think you need some character stuff in a movie, and I didn't get that. Like, he was really smart also off the top. Like, there's a scene where a truck is barreling through a city, and he immediately goes, I'm following that truck.
Yeah.
And it's like, smart. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, this guy's smart. Yeah. Because he start him off with, like, he's a guy with a past. But all he wants to do now is make pancakes for his girls. So all he cares about is making the pancakes for his girls. Yeah. You're like, I like this guy. Mm-hmm. He just wants a simple life, man. Just let that simple guy live.
Live and let live, yeah.
Yeah, you've been to this movie before, brother. The guy just wants, he wants out. He wants out. But they're bringing him in.
They keep pulling him back in.
Pulling him back in. And he's very smart. And then he doesn't seem to be smart for the rest of the movie. He seems like okay.
Really?
Okay intelligence rest of the movie. Because, you know, they lay the pipe of, like, how you fix things, but, and, like, so much so that the one guy is just like, you know, sometimes secrets become revealed to you later. The thing you didn't think was a secret is actually the biggest secret of all, and the most dangerous is the most good. Anyway, don't you find a mystery wrapped in an enigma to be fascinating? Well, let's get going, then.
Dead.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, well, he said his fucking piece, and he was gone. What'd you enjoy? Like, just the action?
Well, Because one of my favorite thing in the zombie movies is the actual zombie part of it. Like the uprising or the everything turning to shit part of it.
Right.
I don't enjoy the people trying to live in the after effects of it. That part is dull to me. So I just like I love.
So you don't like a Walking Dead show?
I love Walking Dead. Like the first episode is great. He wakes up in a hospital, just like Day of the Triffids.
Right.
And the world has changed around him. And he goes outside. Days later, and 28 days later, which also borrows from that idea from Day of the Triffids. And they, you know, they both wake up in a hospital and they go in and the whole world has changed around them.
Yep.
And now they have to deal with, in just exploring that world with them, I enjoy that part of it. Mm-hmm. But once the story starts, then I'm just like, yonaroo. I just like this kind of exploring this strange new place. Like, what's it like? What is it like with no power? And da-da-da-da.
Well, there wasn't really any exploring of strange new place in this one, was
no,
there?
No, but this is more about like, it's more just how it's happening, you know, like, you know, how the thing spreads and trying to deal with it in this sort of, you know what I mean? Like it's dealing with the problem, not just dealing with the survival after, mm-hmm. but trying to stop it from happening. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I just enjoyed it. I love the airplanes scene. And I mean, I know that's just,
yeah, airplane scene.
I know it's there. It's just part of the, you know, there to the, oh, we need a thrill part here. So we'll just,
yeah, boop, no, it's very clever. It felt like we're on this ride. We're on this ride. We're on this ride. It's like, okay, what are you doing? And again, I'm not trying to spoil, but let's say, you know, you're in a public pool. Okay. And like, what's the worst thing could happen in public? And this just happens at a public pool. All right. Now we're in this location. Well, I think things are going to be all right. No, the worst thing that could happen is this. And it's just like, okay, again.
It was enjoyable.
I did like one scene where he's trying to sneak around and his wife calls him because she's worried about him. And then the phone goes off and then shit goes down.
Yeah.
That I liked because it felt like, oh, we're back to the family dynamic. Mm-hmm. And that's really what bugged me was.
Yeah, we needed more of the family. I would agree with you there.
Yeah.
Like, I think we should see more of them, like, going, they because I don't want to spoil too much of the film, but, you know, they're in one place, which is safe.
Right.
And then because circumstances change, they're taken out of that safe place and put into a place that's much less safe.
Right.
And so we should see that.
Yeah, and he's not given a choice.
Yeah.
Because, all right, I could go this much. Like, if he doesn't do the thing he does, then his family will not be safe.
Or him, yeah.
Right. And at a later point, the people who made his family safe decide, it's not worth having them be safe anymore.
Yeah.
And there's no repercussions at all for that.
Yeah.
Which to me was like a big, what?
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you say you're going to protect
the hands were tied.
Yeah. If you're going to say you're going to protect the hero's family, then you got to talk to the big boss who we set up like earlier on in the movie. I say we. Who they set up earlier on in the movie as the asshole.
Yeah.
Now, I got to see the scene between the asshole and the hero where we get a little heat. Because you can't just go, things might ends with a boo.
I would agree with you. I would agree with you, but it the movie doesn't have a lot of those kind of tropes that you would find in most films of that sort. And maybe that's part of why I liked it, was it just, you know, it just ends with kind of, you know, then we took bulldozers and we moved all these bodies around, and, you know, and we found a cure, and you know, it just seemed like it just, you know, it just kind of took care of itself. And in terms of his character not developing, I guess that's,
well, his motivation's weird, too. It's like his motivation is, I don't want to be part of this.
Yeah.
Then his motivation is, I'm forced to be part of this. Why do you have to be part of this? I got to be part of this because otherwise my family will directly be affected.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Now, your next step as a writer is to go, like, he's got to expand his thing to, like, I've got to do this for the world. But we don't really get that because, like, by the time, like, you see a bit of that, but then they pull the old, now your family's in danger again. Oh, shit.
Does he know? I can't remember now.
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
Yeah, he gets told he's, like, really, he's really, yeah, because there's a phone call, and he's like, hey, how's my family? Oh, got a little awkward news.
Hold on,
for you.
Caller.
Right. So, like, the next thing, like, what's his motivation then? But then we're into a whole weird thing. And, you know, it's just like, now we've got to finally reveal the mystery wrapped in a sausage that we said earlier on. And then they lay that pipe. Now, here's the other weird thing. And I'm going to say this without spoiling anything. One of the, but, like, what you find out is the big woo-hoo-hoo. It feels like at the beginning, they lay a little pipe down for one of his family members being connected to that, and then they never play that out, which seems strange. I can talk to you about that off mic, and we can discuss.
In terms of the history of the production, I know it went through a long period of development, so there probably were different scripts that developed things differently.
No shit.
So
no shit.
Because the book itself is unfilmable in the sense that it's not a linear story. It tells a story in a series of emails, press clippings, you know, and sort of texts and things like that to tell this story. And but with many characters, no one character in the yeah. story, right? So obviously they've taken the title of the book and some of the concepts from the book and then made their own narrative out of it.
And the other thing that bugs me, it's this action fucking trope. You know, I hate using the word trope. Using the word trope is such a trope right now. Is the one guy who's the most handsome guy in the world,
yeah.
who is completely safe, sometimes because he's a little smart, but mostly because he's just lucky. You know, where like, you yeah. know, he's running with five guys and four zombies grab the other four mm-hmm. guys, mm-hmm. you know, and then he's like, woo, glad I made it through. And you're like, okay, well, maybe reveal a reason why, like, your special skills in the past have allowed you to yeah. do this. You're the guy who takes the smarter
route. Or he's just lucky.
Yeah, no, yeah, but if your main hero survives because of luck once, I'm all for it. Luck twice, maybe. If he's only lucky, well, then just call him horseshoe up his ass. Don't give him any special skills.
He does get pretty injured in the plane crash.
What? No.
I'm just saying he's not entirely. I mean, if he came out of that unscathed, okay. then I could say, yeah, this is getting weird.
But he's the kind of unscathed. Okay. He gets in. All right, we're going to say there's a plane crash. But let's say he gets an injury, and it looks like a, oh, shit.
Yeah.
If it was the kind of injury that if it was any other character, that character, so long, tell my wife I love her. That would be the end of him. But, like, he, you know, he's out. Next time we see him, bandage. And, that was a close one. Okay. And he's not even walking with a fucking limp from that point on.
Hmm.
You know, he really Wolverines up after that.
But I do like the scene. There's a scene in the film where he and other people are under attack from the zombies. And he's just cowering behind a wall. Well, you know, because he's not a soldier. He's not a fighter.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like, okay, I'm going to be here and you guys do your thing and then I'll come later.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. I enjoyed it. So
that's
I'm going to say.
To enjoy it. I
saw it in a double bill with Pacific Rim, so maybe the contrasting.
I got to see some Pacific Rim.
Contrasting okay. films.
Now, going to other movies with the word world in them.
I saw The World's End.
Now, that's the last, Simon Pegg one.
The last of the Cornetto trilogy, yeah.
Not to be confused with The End of the World, which is the Seth Rogen one.
Which is This Is the End, I think
this
it's called.
This Is the End, okay. Yeah. Very good.
My friend.
So what did you think of the final Cornetto trilogy?
I enjoyed it quite a bit, actually. Enjoyed it quite a bit. I think it's a sort of film that you would really, really enjoy if you liked beer. There's a lot of scenes of like beer being plunked down and guzzled.
Do you think it's pro-beer or it's anti-beer?
I think it's pro-beer.
Is it? I know some people are both ways. The one, like, I really want a pint at the end of that.
Yeah.
And the other was like, I'd never want to drink again at the end of that.
Well, there's a lot of it. I could see that you'd feel like...
there's also such an anti... drinking thing, really, because your main drinking character who's like, I love drinking, like, oh, that guy looks
that's so
I
good
that's not a good example of an alcoholic, because, well, it's rough,
but he's treated in sort of a heroic way at the end of the film, which is interesting.
Okay, again, we're getting into spoiler territory, I know, but
I can't help it. I mean, if you're gonna talk about a film, you know right. I mean, I would have to say I did enjoy it quite a bit, and it's actually one of the few of those films where I really like the ending a lot. I didn't really like the ending of Shaun of the Dead, say, that much.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I just... And maybe it's just partly my frustration with the characters, or the character in the film who makes so many terrible choices that endangers everyone he knows. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of frustrating to watch that, you know? And you know, this is your hero, some hero. I can't remember how Hot Fuzz ends, so I can't say that, you know... It does have that spire going into Timothy Dalton's mouth, and yes. That's totally disturbing to me. I cannot watch that. Yeah, Millis was watching it the other day because former guest of the show, David M., gave her the special edition with like five commentaries on it and stuff like that.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Because he was shedding some stuff when he moved, so he just gave it to Millis. And she loves that film, so she was so happy to get it. So she was watching it again.
Yeah.
And of course, that scene came on, and I was just like, I'm leaving. So I went downstairs. But once is enough for that scene for me.
All right, once that's fair.
But I can't remember how it ends.
It ends quite positively. With them basically now they're cops on the beat and crime happens and they go off to solve the crime.
Maybe I didn't like the whole thing getting blown up in the...
I wasn't a big fan of the thing getting blown up. Yeah, I thought that was a little weak.
And I didn't like Shaun of the Dead ending, like his dead friend in a shed so he can play video games with him. It seemed kind of
That's all he wanted. That's his idea of happiness. Like the most important thing to that friend was the friendship and playing video games. It's like, how do you get a happy ending out of a zombie movie? That's as good as you're going to get in a zombie movie.
Well, unless people living would be the...
No, zombie movies end with everyone fucked, not end happy. Here's the thing, too. The other day, I'm watching a different...
No wonder you didn't like World War Z.
I'm watching a different sci-fi thing, and I forget the name of it, but I'm watching it. I'm going, oh, I'm really enjoying this. And then, again, my sister-in-law says to me, remember, this is a British sci-fi movie. And I went, oh,
what were you watching, sorry?
I forget the name of it.
What happened in
it? The idea was it was all these young people powering, they were powering the city. And there was the only way sort of out of this was you could go on this American or pop idol type show. And if you had a talent, you could become famous. But if not, you were running the machinery. And if you couldn't run the machinery, you were too weak, you would be the janitor.
Okay.
And it was like a really shitty existence. You always had to go back to your cubicle and watch TV. And if you shut your eyes, it would like scream at you until you kept watching. And you had a certain amount of credits that you could only spend on like your avatar and all this kind of stuff. Huh. So it was like interesting. And like
this on Netflix?
No, it was on BBC, I believe.
Okay.
And it's also on the web. I'll give you a link. Anyway, and I went, oh, I really like where this is going. And she says to me, remember, this is British sci-fi. And we're like, not all British sci-fi ends sad. There's, oh, yeah, British sci-fi ends sad. That's how British sci-fi ends. Mm-hmm. And so British zombie movie.
Not Day of the Triffids.
Okay. So, all right, listen. We got to call a Triffid limit. Okay.
I can help it if two films reference it.
All right.
It's not my fault.
But like almost any American zombie movie, vampire movies can end with the vampire being killed and everyone's sort of semi-happy. That's fine. Werewolf movie usually ends sad. Mm. Zombie movie always ends sad.
Yeah.
And so like, if you're going to be true to a zombie movie, what do you do? And then when his friend got bit, it was like, oh shit, you can't get out of this. You're going to, oh my God. And it's like, but how do you get a happy ending out of that? Well, you don't get a happy ending. You get a good enough ending.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah.
And that I liked. I did like.
Okay.
I did like. Shaun of the Dead is probably one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, I know. You had it in your top.
Yeah. Movies. And The World's End, I would say, is my, including Edgar Wright's Scott Pilgrim, I'd say World's End is my fourth.
Hmm.
I still liked it.
Yeah.
But I thought the ending was flawed before the crazy ending. The resolution, the Doctor Who style.
Yeah.
I'm yelling at you, alien.
Yeah.
Basically, the scene that always happens in Doctor Who where he yells at God, and then God, who has been omnipotent through this whole thing, goes, but I don't understand your logic, blah, 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 poof, I'm gone. All right, talk to me, Mr. Doctor.
They shouldn't have had a talky resolution. Because I think when you're doing that, I mean, the problem, I can understand why they did it, because you're writing the show and you're like, okay, we're going to tell people. You know, we have a real message here for people.
What is the message?
That England is becoming a plastic place, and that we're losing our England to commercialism. Like, you know, when you see the bars.
Like that's a good message, but I don't think that was the message that they.
No,
were,
you don't think so. At the
I
end,
think, I think that was a message.
Yeah.
That they were trying to get across, but I don't then think then it became like, you know, you've got to be more civilized, and it got all messy, and then to the point where then you know they were. Their big push was like, you can't tell us what to do. We're individuals. We're this.
Yeah.
And it felt like a real American message. Like, that felt like, it didn't feel British. I get, but it didn't feel in sync. First of all, it didn't feel in sync with what had come before.
Yeah.
It didn't feel in sync with, like, stuff that they'd laid down as their characters before. It just felt like, we got to resolve this. And so here's an argument.
Yeah.
And then everyone just agreed, and then it was end. And then the crazy pants ending happened.
But I do like the actual ending to the film. Like, I just like the, I just like how it resolves. And
it was big. Weird ending.
I wish they got to that in a different way. Yeah, I agree
with you. There was one element of it that I really disliked, that really almost like fucked it completely for me.
Yeah.
And that was, and I'm going to do a little spoiler here, everybody.
Everyone, this is a spoiler.
How y'all doing? There's one of the characters that gets killed. Again, I'm warning you. I'd say, like, just hit your finger on the old podcast thing and take it 10 minutes ahead.
Yeah.
Take it 10 minutes ahead.
Sorry, folks. It's not 8 o'clock yet. Spoilers are still open.
I'm really sorry, but I'm going to do this. There's one kid. There's one guy there who was bullied. All
right? Yeah.
His deal is you know, he was brutally bullied. Mm-hmm. Like, they get, really get into it, like, graphically. They're not playing it for laughs when they're saying it.
Yeah.
So it's like, and the bully doesn't recognize him.
Yeah.
And that really hits home with, like, a lot of people. And I've talked with other people about this. The mm-hmm. idea that someone could hurt you so badly and you are so irrelevant
yeah.
to them. That's what it is. Like, you know what? You don't even matter. You know, you weren't special. You were just this. Okay.
Yeah.
So later on, he beats up the avatar, basically, of the bully.
Yeah.
Now, what you don't, that's not a resolution for
yeah.
that character.
Yeah.
The resolution for that character is being important and being noticed, and he matters. That's the resolution. What you need is for him to actually rescue the real bully who's there, and the bully doesn't know who he is. It's like, who are you? I'm the guy rescuing you. He's got to make the choice to actually do the better thing,
mm-hmm.
to be better than that guy.
Yeah.
But anyway, he doesn't. He just beats the guy up. And then they basically go like, well, that's the end of his plot, and he gets killed.
Mm-hmm.
He's taken away and he's killed. Now later, his ending is his duplicate goes back to his family and is now in his place. And what they say is, and his family, some, you know, don't even really notice the difference.
His wife
doesn't even notice the difference.
Yeah.
So his sad thing is, you had a guy that didn't even notice him, you know, and he was irrelevant as a person to this person.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're saying, you know what? Even his wife, the one person who loved him more than anyone, she didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So what a great sad story that is for that fucker. You know, just like, holy shit, that's terrible.
It is, but what are you going to do? I guess
what you do. You write a better fucking thing
But why? Why?
Why? Because everyone else gets a button on theirs that makes sense for what they are.
Yeah.
Everyone else gets a button that justifies.
He has a sad life.
Yeah, his sad life. Yeah, but then you don't set him up as the tragic character and then go, eh, and then play it for comedy later and then go like, oh, well, you know, even his family didn't know. Meh, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'll tell you what you do. You fucking don't write that scene. That's what you fucking do. You know? And I would have liked to have seen a little something where, you know, they seem to be going on about technology and how we're all crazy attached to technology. And you've got the one character with the earpiece.
Yeah, the Bluetooth, yeah.
Yeah, and I would like to have seen something where, like, you see that he's addicted to that. See, like they're going in with the Starbucksing of England
mm-hmm.
and the world. That's one thing. But they also go with the, we're now too interconnected and we're sharing too much information. Oh, that's another theme. Like, can you give up your connectivity with everybody?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd like to have seen a thing where he couldn't take it off and that's why he was the first guy to be taken or something. But it's just like a lot of mixed messages there. It's just like, where are you going with that?
Yeah.
You know? Is that individuality? Is that your key? Is it we've lost our independence? We're sharing too much? And then your main character is a raging alcoholic who's completely selfish and he's your hero?
Yeah.
Like, okay, then we need a lot to redeem him. And yet he never really gets his redemption point. He just does kind of a drunken rant. And then at the end, he's actually doing bad shit. But that's okay, you know, because he's a selfish prick. So
yeah.
He's just going and having fun, which is all he ever wanted to do. And that's okay. But just don't think he's the hero of the piece by any means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's definitely the Nick Frost guy.
Okay.
Anyway, hey, how's it by you?
It's a comedy.
Yeah, and?
I'm not going to sweat those little details.
Oh, I care about comedy. So I think details get sweated in comedy. Dr. Strangelove is a comedy, but you sweat the fucking details. You know, I think in a comedy, you actually have more responsibility to get that.
Oh, it's just funny, and maybe it's a personal thing because that whole scene, the whole part with Eddie Marson, I didn't even think of it like that.
I guess I look at Shaun of the Dead, and you've got all the characters, and all the characters' issues get resolved beautifully in the story in ways that are appropriate for the story, but also appropriate for them emotionally. You know, the resolution of your mom's dating this guy, and what's that like? And he actually wants to say something to Sean, but he actually gets a way to say it that works with the story, but also works with how you would have to deal with that in real life. You know, Sean doesn't get the easy resolution of he just saves the girl and that's why she falls for him. No, he actually learns and grows, and that's why it kind of bugged me that in this one, the characters didn't seem to be as developed,
mm-hmm.
and the comeuppance and result and you know, of what occurs to them later it doesn't seem to be as connected with what they did earlier. Maybe it's a looser film. Maybe
yeah.
they just decided to not be as precise and precious and mathematical as they were in Sean.
Yeah,
or
it's possible.
Hot
or Hot Fuzz, yeah.
Like, actually, Sean reminds me a lot of the comedy work of Alan Moore. It's like I see a lot of Alan Moore and Edgar Wright's work in that you know, everything leads to something. Things that are symbolic, you know, are laid down earlier, and you go, oh, that's, you know, it works for multiple viewings. Whereas I don't know if I'd watch this one like over and over again, like I would Sean or a Hot Fuzz.
Oh, I would watch it at least one more time.
Wow. What'd you think of Scott Pilgrim when you saw it?
Didn't like it.
Oh, you didn't like Scott Pilgrim? No. Yeah, no. That's one of my favorites. I'd probably say it's my second favorite after Sean.
Well, my problem with Scott Pilgrim wasn't that I didn't like it, because I watched it.
You just
it.
Said it.
No, I'm
wait,
just saying.
Wait, Dave, wait 10 minutes before you say the opposite of what you said.
Well, I just want to clarify it, because when I say I didn't like it, it's because I was disappointed by it in the theater. Because I'd already seen most of the film in trailers and teasers and things like that. So when I actually went to see the film, almost all the jokes in it I'd already seen. So, you know, when you have like the bread scene, which is great.
Right.
I'd seen that. When you have the scene of him jumping out the window, I'd seen that.
Right.
When you have the scene of him on the swing with his sister, I'd seen that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So all the key scenes in the film that, you know, the jokes are, or situations key, are leading
key,
up to,
key jokes,
key scenes, jokes yeah. and stuff like that, I'd already seen them. So instead of going, this is great, I'm going like, oh, disappointed, because I'd already seen that. So
how about the emotional arc?
I thought it was okay.
Didn't
okay.
connect with you?
No, but I've watched it since then, and I actually liked it a lot more.
Okay.
I just think because I was really, my expectations were super high, and then when I saw it, I felt really let down by it.
Something I like that, like I can totally see what you're saying with that. They did show a lot of it before they
it was
showed it.
Very badly marketed, I have to say.
It's tough, man.
Terribly,
what do you do?
Terribly
like
marketed.
You look at how so many comedy films are marketed, which is you just show all the funny scenes because you want to get people
terrible.
In.
Terrible.
Yeah, it is terrible, but it works, you know, and a lot of times. And then,
but it's not really a comedy movie.
No.
You know what I mean? And so what the...
It's actually not. You're right.
What the trailer should have concentrated on were the action scenes, was the over... And you showed me this animated kind of prequel to it, which would have made like the best trailer of all time. Because really, it totally gets you keyed up for what the film is going to tell you. So if you had, you know, even like an edited version of that, and then show several like kind of action-y scenes from the film, I think it would have made it a lot more popular.
It's tricky because they were trying to aim it as a mainstream movie, and it's an art house movie.
I don't think it's an art house movie.
It's got an art house movie theme.
I think it's an art house movie, like Kill Bill is an art house movie then.
Okay, but the way I say this is an art house movie is it's not boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl back. Mm-hmm. This is...
boy goes on quest, gets
well,
girl.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't even really get the girl, really.
Okay.
It's boy thinks he's good... learns he's an asshole over time and he's been lying to himself.
Yeah.
Confronts himself literally over the fact that he's a douchebag.
Yeah.
And then gives another chance, maybe. Perhaps we'll see. You know? We'll see. And then the romance might be starting or might not. Here we go. The end. Well, but it's also the beginning. I mean, that is an art house movie. An art house movie is you find yourself.
Okay. It is tough to sell, but don't talk about that.
What do you do then?
You just ignore that. You have lots of action.
How do you sell it? What's
you sell it as you sell it as
all right,
a
here's the thing. I'm
you sell
I'm,
it as a romance,
right, you
and you sell it as a romance movie that has some
Dave,
some action
I'm
in it.
I'm Johnny moviegoer. I'm in my lineup and I'm trying to decide what to see. I know nothing of Scott Pilgrim.
Okay.
I'm looking up there and I'm seeing Scott Pilgrim. I'm seeing The Hangover. I'm seeing some other movies. Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Dave, old friend of mine from high school. How are you doing? Why should I see this Scott Pilgrim film? Why don't you describe it to me in about 2 or 3 sentences to sell it to me without ruining it for me?
Sell it to you without. I would say, well, the quickest way would be saying it's a romantic comedy with fighting in it, with action scenes. Wouldn't that be an interesting film for you to see?
Hmm.
You like video games?
Do you think it's a romantic comedy?
Yes, it's a romance. It has comedy elements.
Is it
and
a
it's
romance?
An action. Yes, it is a romance. He falls in love with her. He tries to date her. He dates 2 girls in the film.
Yeah.
It has a love triangle in it. Yes, it is a romantic comedy. It is a romantic movie.
I would say
it's not like a rom-com in the classic sense of it, but it has elements of romantic comedies.
Okay, elements of romantic comedy.
And then it has elements of action films in
then
it.
Let me ask you this bigger question on that. Do you think he falls in love with her in the movie?
Does he fall? He falls in love with the idea of her.
Yeah, that's exactly what he does.
Yeah.
He falls in love with the idea of him being a couple with her.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And then he and that's what all the guys and gal do is they they do not see her as her, as yeah. their own person. Mm-hmm. They see themselves and what they are with her.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, by the end, yeah, it's like now they're seeing each other as people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's all about him getting over his delusions about himself.
Oh, yeah.
I know you're saying like all the comedy scenes, you know, are gone. But one of the scenes that like really like hit me so good was him saying like how he doesn't drink. And then like he orders two drinks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both for him.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit, I know people like that.
Yeah.
They're completely in denial about who they are. And you see, and if you watch it the second time, you see everyone sitting around. And if you watch it the first time, you just go, oh, they're all just comedy characters.
Mm.
They're all slackers. They're all losers.
Yeah.
That's sure. She's the mopey gal.
Yeah.
You know, she's who we'd see in a John Cusack movie. Who
oh, no, she's like the truth teller.
Well, she's the one who has been hurt by this guy.
But they don't talk about that in the film. That's why the prequel is so great.
Oh, they do mention that she dated him briefly.
They don't go into it as much as they should.
She got hurt by him more than anyone.
Yeah.
And so when you watch it the second time, you're like, oh, fuck, this guy really hurt all the people in this room.
Yeah.
And is doing so almost through the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end where like he's kind and does the right thing and you see that weight lifted off her shoulders and, you know, it's not, you know, the be all and end all, but it's a start. It's just like, oh, Jesus, that just hits me so hard.
Well, it's very truthful, too. And I mean, there is a terrible egotism to people, young adults, you know, that we do hurt people.
Yeah.
And we do make selfish decisions.
And you think
decisions.
You're the star of your own story.
We think we're the star of our own story. And
in this case, he is, but he's a douche.
Yeah.
And, you know, little by little.
Well, he's a douche because he thinks he's the star of his own story.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes him a douche, right?
And then little by little, his friends have to say, get lost and cut him loose.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to move out. And you're a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, go on and take off. And then I love that literally, I mean, it's one of those scenes where if it fucked up, this would have been the worst scene in the movie.
Yeah.
Where he actually, his final battle is dark him.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, here we go. And you're ready for it. Here comes the fight. And they actually get along fine. And like the part of himself that he'd been denying the whole time, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's fine with himself. He's cool with himself. All right. Yeah, that's me and that's my darkness and whatever. And I'm all right. We're going to meet for pancakes later. Okay, bye. It's fine. And just like that could have tanked completely. And I'm sure to some people it did.
Yeah.
But it was just like that is art house as fuck. You do not end a movie maybe, with you've met your dark side. Yeah. And you get along with him, and it's just a casual goodbye, and you meet for pancakes.
Maybe that is a weakness of the film. It doesn't have a really satisfying climax where you get to the end of the film, and you're just like, I want to start watching that again. You know, like when I watched Moonrise Kingdom, when the ending came, I was just like, you know what? I'd just like to sit here and watch the film one more time.
Right.
You know, like, and I left the theater, and I was like walking on air, you know, because it just made me so happy. And maybe, you know, and it's not just films that make me happy.
I like that with Life Aquatic. To me, that one.
Yeah, that's another film that's
that
too.
That just makes me. I'm a blubbering bubberball.
Yeah,
it's just the sweetest ending, and goddamn, I love that movie.
Yeah, it has a real, uplifting ending. But even movies that don't have uplifting endings can make me feel excited and happy when you get to the conclusion of the film, and I just go, "That was, you know."
Oh, here's the other thing I liked about Scott Pilgrim. I could go on about Scott Pilgrim for quite a while.
We noticed.
Is them starting off saying it's in the mythological land or mythical land of Toronto.
Yeah.
And they play it that way,
mm-hmm.
where you just see Canada as this weird mythic land and it all feels like Canada.
Yeah.
But it makes Canada feel like, oh, this real strange place where all this weird shit goes down. And that could happen. And I guess so. I guess this is what happens. They do shoot movies here.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. And there's that record store. Yeah, I guess this is what... Yeah, that just all... That all worked for me. There was a guy I know who hated it from the beginning, which... Because everyone was an asshole.
Yeah.
He went, why do I like these people?
Yeah.
And I wanted to just grab him as a writer. I wanted to grab him and shake him and just go, cause you don't start the film with... Hey, you like everybody, because then you've got nowhere to completely go. You start with...
Well, usually the protagonist is somewhat sympathetic, but I didn't...
Or you have the illusion of them being sympathetic and you learn the darkness.
It's funny that he felt that way about it, because to me, Scott Pilgrim is presented in a very positive way. Like, it doesn't say this is a jerk. You just slowly learn that about him as you watch it.
That's where you see the people around him and see who he's hurting, and then it's like, Oh yeah. And that's exactly, I think, how you have to present it to hopefully, I mean, I think it's a film that it's important for young people to see and just go like, okay. You know, for all that, you know, there's always like all these articles about how, you know, this generation just thinks of themselves, which is what everyone says about every generation. It's just a stupid thing to fucking bring up. But it's a good film to see about that and just go like, hey, look around you. How are those people doing around you, your friends? Have you made their lives better or worse?
There's only one generation that looks back at themselves and spends all their time patting themselves on the back. And those are fucking hippies. Fuck them.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Talk to hippies. They think they're like the greatest thing that ever happened.
Are they, if they're still hippies?
I don't care what they are in there.
How about the greatest generation? Don't they call themselves the greatest generation?
No, that was...
If you call yourself the greatest generation...
That wasn't a self-gloss. That was other people calling them that.
Right, but you don't go like, no, we're not. Come now.
It's they probably wouldn't. They're probably like, who are you talking about? Like, seriously, if you talk to someone who like fought in World War II, lived through the Depression, and you said to them, you guys are the greatest generation, what are they going to say to you? They're going to go, yeah, that's me, all right, and pat themselves on the back. No, they're going to
be like...
They
can't reach that far. They got arthritis. They can't pat themselves on the back.
They're going to say, shut up and get to work. Get to work. You're going to go poor.
Every generation did some good stuff. Every generation did some bad stuff. Yeah. Every generation thinks the next generation is the most fucked up generation and the most disrespectful. And
smoking outside the restaurant beneath your windows.
That's right. So you know what? Hey, all of you, those of you out there that are going to have babies, those babies are going to be real douchebags.
They're going to grow up to be cowboys.
Really?
That's what I heard.
Maybe space cowboys.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Isn't that the song?
That is the song. You're the music expert.
Yeah.
And also, some people call them the space cowboys. I just made a space cowboy reference.
Some call them the gangsters of love.
Well, wait. Are they gangsters or space cowboys?
Space gangsters.
That's radically different.
Hey.
That's radically different. Make up your mind song. Pompous of love, my ass. How are we doing for time here, David?
I think we can wrap it up safely.
You know what? Let's wrap it up and wrap it up safely. You know what? We had a good time. We spoiled some movies for you. Dave apologized. Dave did two of his hick characters.
Yeehaw!
And there you go. Now, I'm going to ask you all a favor. You know out there?
What is it, Ian? Kind of favor are you asking?
The favor I'm going to ask you.
Don't let your babies grow up to be hit characters?
Is whatever Dave makes for his title card this week, please like it. Otherwise, he might just give up.
I just quit.
Yeah.
Quit and entirely.
If you got any questions about the show, anything you dislike, give us a little post on our Facebook page or sneakydragon.com.
Or on
Twitter.
Or?
That's all we are.
Did you say Facebook?
Yeah, Facebook was what I started.
I missed that.
Nope. Dave doesn't listen.
Wasn't listening then.
Does not listen. Not a listener.
I was thinking of title cards.
And we got something special coming up soon for a very special anniversary. That anniversary
is going to be 56 shows.
That is going to be
episode 150.
Mr. and Mrs. Sylvia Johnson. It's going to be their 25th anniversary.
Oh.
And we're going to do something special for them.
Nice. Mr. and Mrs. Sylvia Johnson.
Yeah.
It's very nice of you to use a woman's name first.
No, it's a man named Sylvia.
Oh, it's a man named Sylvia.
He was a very tough guy. He fought in WW2.
Did he?
The greatest generation.
He's only been married for 25 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know why?
No.
Because he found out his last wife was a Nazi and he killed her.
Oh. But he is part of the greatest generation.
He played the long game as a Nazi hunter. Like little by little, he'd just be over tea, over dinner, and just like, it's a good dinner. Anyway, so what do you think about them Nazis? You know that Hitler had some good ideas. You know what? I think if there's anyone who like fought for the Nazis, I'd probably forgive them. Oh, you know, maybe I should tell you.
Then he got arrested.
I fought for the Nazis. Blam! The end. took her right out, and then he remarried. You know who he remarried? The arresting officer. Who came and was arresting him for the murder of his Nazi wife.
Okay.
And then she went, heck with it. I'm going to let you get away with it. And then they fell in love.
And they went on the run together.
That's right.
Yeah, sounds great.
That is going to be my pitch for a new show on NBC. Though I think I like have it. To add some sort of mythological character. Perhaps a unicorn that gives them information in a like garage.
How about a centaur?
Okay.
Because that makes more sense. Like a centaur who comes
How
and
about
talks.
This? He's a centaur, but he works at a fast food restaurant, but you never see his bottom half.
No.
So that's how he can work there. Or a parking lot.
I was thinking he was a real estate agent and he works for Centauri 21.
Hey, everybody. If you're looking around, your GPS is probably telling you what we've hit there is rock bottom. So we're just going to end it here. And... Dave will apologize for that joke on next week's show. Sorry we didn't have time for deck talk this week, but we will have time for it next week. I've been Ian Boothby.
I've been David Dedrick.
Thanks so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Post, contact us. We like hearing from you. Okay, you guys take care of yourselves. Bye.
So long, y'all. Strangely soft speaker.
Okay. Creeping me out before we get started.